redelik aan, baie hard gaan uil wees, so. Hierdie mense ken nie die woorde nie. Okay.
Sal jy maar net vir my wys stop?
Ja, nee, nee.
Okay, so, kan ons gaan.
Okay, ja.
Christian, going first, I'll come back to join
I will have to try and find the side one. Okay. Yes, I just want to speak to my organization and then I'm coming up front.
Very good.
We're just going to
analyze it. So lose track right here. Galen. Galen. That's why I'm hesitating. I pronounce it Galen. That's why I was hesitating. Firstly, in my capacity as the person who will be doing the streaming, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Hanif, and I'll be mostly quiet. Welcome to the live stream.
Good morning, everyone. Just a quick question. For the seven delegations, I just want to check to make sure that all the delegates are here. When all the delegates are here, there's no easy way for us to know that all the observers are in the room, but I can check for all the delegations. So can I go through the seven countries, and if you just ask yes or no to the question, are all your delegates present? So Australia?
Yes.
Canada?
No.
Right, we'll stop and I'll check in 5 minutes.
Yes, I'm just ahead of you.
You've just come on.
Yes,
leave the gap for the microphone. And then when it's time to check, you just stand and I'll show you.
Christo again.
Yes, Christo, it's John.
Yes, John. Well, I just moved us here to come for prayer. I don't know what sort of life I have. First of all, my wristwatch is battery dying. Now my room telephone is dying.
Just have you go follow down.
They're not video casting also, are they?
In about 5 minutes, regardless, we're still waiting for some delegates to arrive, but we will start in about 5 minutes, even if they're not here.
Okay, now it's already broadcasting.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what you've said is heard.
So which microphones are open? Which microphone is
No, it's right here.
Good morning, everyone.
They couldn't connect me.
It's Mary up at the top table here just talking. I want, please, to check. We know that we have a delay on the Canada and Nigerian delegations, but I'd like to check. New Zealand, your delegation is here?
Yes.
Yes. South Africa?
Yes.
Yes. United Kingdom?
Yes.
United States?
Yes.
Right. Okay. We will be starting at 8:45 regardless.
Are you saying, Bill, that didn't go to the stream?
Sorry?
Are you saying that Mary didn't go to the stream?
She did, but I didn't think she was. It sounded like it might have been picking up. I'm not quite sure.
I'm just using the laptop.
Are you using separate microphones for the streaming rather than the ones that are being switched for the public address?
I'm using the speakers as an input because they couldn't connect me to the ACC. That's what we found out this morning.
Right. So you just have a microphone near the speaker seat?
Yep. And it should be fine.
Yeah, it's just so we know when we can be heard.
Okay, cool. But I can switch it off if you need me.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I know it's just music or something needs to, yeah?
Don't worry. I want to speak to
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary Schnackenberg. I'm actually from New Zealand. I'm the president of the International Council on English Braille, and it is my privilege to welcome you all to the first session of the 5th General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille, held here in Johannesburg in South Africa. And please rise for the South African National Anthem.
Thank you.
please be seated. Well, thank you very much, everyone. I have a few announcements, and then we'll do a roll call, which in the United States is called self-identification. But first of all, just to let us all know, live streaming is occurring. We're going out over the internet to the world. So for those countries that may be listening to us, be they in Africa or elsewhere, welcome. Also, we have a Twitter account up, and the web streaming and Twitter is taken care of by Hanif Kruger. So thank you to Hanif for looking after this. There will be a sound recording of the proceedings. There's also the possibility of photographs. Now, we need to cover off what are called house rules here. So that's about emergency procedures, the location of toilets and so on. So can I hand over to Kathy, who I think has got someone else to support her with this. So if Kathy Donaldson leads off with our house rules, that will be good. And then after the house rules, self-introductions around the tables. We will go in order of delegation, alphabetical order of delegation. We don't have microphones at each table at the moment, but that's happening. But until it's all wired up and going, we'll use the hand microphone to pass around the delegations. But now over to Kathy.
Thank you, Mary. Morning, everybody. There are just a couple of things we'd like to tell you at the beginning of the 5th General Assembly. As we go on, there might be other announcements. Firstly, you all saw that the tea will be served at half past 10, I think it is. And then, as far as the emergency is concerned, if there's a fire or something goes wrong, please move to the main gate. Those people that can see, assist. There are enough hotel personnel to also assist. I checked on that yesterday. There are two rooms allocated right next to the marquee for you people to use as toilets. I think they're to the left. And those that prefer the rooms, you're welcome to go there. And then we also ask you, if there are any problems or anything else that you need, please come to me and we will try and assist you as far as possible. And then is Philip in the hall?
Yes, ma'am.
Please, Philip, can you come and do the description for us? You're so good at that. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, Kathy. And Philip Jourdan from Braille Services in South Africa is coming to the microphone. Philip's organisation has been responsible for the Braille and print for this 5th General Assembly. Some 27,000 pages of Braille, but not to be outdone, 13,000 pages of print. So we have to thank Philip's team most sincerely for that. Now Philip has a microphone.
Thank you, President. For a moment, I thought Kathy said I must do the scripture reading. let me have this closer. And if there are mistakes, my sincerest apologies. We've tried to make a bugger up in 35 of them. It seems we're good in 36. So if there are problems, sorry, but bring it to our attention. There is a car going into the ship. Into work every morning, so we can rectify and bring back and replace. This thing there reminds me of my wife. You talk to her, but she doesn't listen. At the head table, you've heard all the important people. They are neatly dressed this morning, except for. You can ask Kathy who that is. It's a long table with too many microphones, so they're going to keep you busy for at least 5 to 6 days. Then we have the 7 important countries sitting between you. Now let me do that in Afrikaans, I might lie to you in English. 7 tables, each with their own microphone and their delegates. They are the second most important people. And right at the back of the bus, in the cheap seats, we have all the observers. The tent is neatly done. The roof of the tent is draped in black. On the sides, we have white satin. If there are sheets, I should take them home. They look quite neat. The sound system, I think, is very good. We've tested it this past week, except if this mic behaves like my wife. Right in the center at the back, we have the exit or the entrance. We have, hopefully, enough assistance here. So if you want anybody to help, just stick up your hand, and Yolanda will rush to your assistance, especially if your name is Marius Neyland. Oh, that was a private joke, was supposed to be said here. Now you have the answer to the question or the comment as well. Anything else, Ms. Donaldson?
Philip, are there banners over the years?
We have,
tell us about the banners, please.
Now we only have two. We used to have three, but I think ours was stolen last night. This is South Africa. Now, ours is in the foyer of the hotel. We bring it over. We have two banners currently here. One of the National Council for the Blind states their name and their logo, which you might know or not know is six dots. In 3, 2, and 1 dot configuration, showing the... It's like a triangle, and it's showing the future of Braille. Also, the banner is written sustainability, equality, and empowerment. The second banner we have here is from the Department of Arts and Culture, the main sponsor of the event, for which we are very thankful. Manzi's Golden Economy, unleashing the economic power of the arts. And that's the one of Arts and Culture. And we get the nicest one of them all, obviously, is Blind Essays. We'll get that from the foyer of the hotel. Anything else, ma'am?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Philip, for that description. Now we'll go around the delegations. We'll do the countries in alphabetical order, go around the table for each country, and then we'll do the observers around the rest of the room. So, can I have Australia's delegates first, please?
Jesse Howes?
Yep, that needs the microphone.
Jesse Howes?
Bill Jolly, good morning, everyone.
Christine Simpson, and Australia, and voting delegate.
Leona Holloway. Thank you. And Canada?
Jen Golden.
Phyllis Landon.
Darlene Bogart.
And we have an apology from Betty Noble, who will be with us later this morning. New Zealand?
Maria Stevens, voting delegate.
Janet Reynolds.
Yes, so we've got from New Zealand, we have Maria Stevens, Janet Reynolds, and Paula Wavy. Nigeria, I don't think, is in the room yet, but they're here. Sorry, my apologies to you. Welcome. Can we have your names around the table, please?
Sarah
Akiola. Gina B. And Elijah Akinyemi is coming, but he hasn't arrived yet.
Okay. Thank you. South African delegates? Can you talk into the microphone, please, Antoinette?
Start again. Antoinette Buerta.
Pasha Olden.
Bobette Magura.
Christo. And Christo de Klerk hasn't got a microphone he has now. Christo, sorry?
I have now and I won't let it go again. Christo de Klerk, and I'm the voting delegate.
Fine, thank you. United Kingdom?
B.
Bill Poole, and I noted the Philip's proposal that the future of Braille is a six-dot triangular cell. Thank you.
Pete Osborne.
Mandy White, voting delegate.
Mike Townsend.
Welcome. Welcome to all our delegates. Now, and USA, yes?
Judy Dixon.
Francis Mary DeAndreas.
Brett Schroeder.
Diane Wormsley. Thank you very much, everyone. Now, can we go around the observers?
Kennedy Lukoko, Botswana.
Muji Mukibe, Botswana.
Andrew Mutambisi, Zimbabwe.
Susan van Dijk Blind is at Braille Services.
Good morning, everyone. This is Marius Swart from South Africa.
Hazel Marshall, South Africa.
Dina Mudley, South Africa.
Maria Anstey, South Africa.
Margaret Mutsipe, South Africa.
Nchaveni Simon Ushitone, South Africa. Johannes Dube, South Africa.
Edith Townsend, UK.
Toko Samudimu, Botswana.
Jess Dikatazo Selitso, Botswana.
Tembika Vini, South Africa.
Patrick Pollard, United Kingdom.
Cyprian Mohane, South Africa, Free State.
Joe Sullivan, United States.
That's all.
Thank you very much.
And Jason.
Okay, we'll take the top table now.
Jess Naya, South Africa.
Kathy Donaldson, South Africa.
John Simpson, Australia.
Right. Now, thank you for all those introductions. We'll now ask Mr. Jace Nair to welcome us from on behalf of the South African National Council for the Blind.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
And a very warm and cordial welcome to all of you to South Africa. At the outset, I would like to acknowledge the presence and welcome our partners hosting this event. Firstly, Kathy Donaldson, the president of Blind SA. We have Christo de Klerk, the newly elected president of the South African Braille Authority. And I have the honorary vice president of the South African National Council for the Blind, Hazel Marshall. The president of ISAB, Mary Schneckenberg, representatives of our funding partner, the Department of Arts and Culture. In welcoming you, I'd like to give you a very brief overview. Firstly, of South Africa, then of the South African National Council for the Blind, and then on Braille governance matters in South Africa. South Africa has a population of approximately 50 million people residing in 9 provinces, and the Gauteng, one of the smallest land masses in the country. However, the largest population exists in this province. The budget for the city of Johannesburg and the city of Swane, Pretoria, I've been told equals or is in excess of many of the country budgets in Africa. We have 11 languages in the country, official languages, and a number of cultural languages, including sign language. The statistics of the number of persons with disability in the country, according to the World Health Organization, is approximately 10%. And of that, the majority of persons with disability are persons who are blind or partially sighted. The household survey of 2005 indicates that there are 750,000 blind and partially sighted persons in the country, of which between 60 to 80% are afflicted with cataract blindness. It is estimated that only about 10% of blind and partially sighted population in this country, and between 2 to 4 persons are braille literate. It is estimated that only 3% of partially sighted persons are employed in the country. And a survey done by reflects that of those employed, 90% of them are braille literate. The South African National Council for the Blind was established in 1936, and has 100 member organizations registered. There are approximately 22 schools that cater for blind and partially. There are 13 adult basic education centers. There are 5 early childhood development centers. There are 2 libraries that cater, and there are 3 braille production houses. There are a number of organizations that provide social development, human rights, advocacy, employment, sports, arts, culture, and recreation. The South African National Council acts as a national coordinating umbrella body of blind and partially sighted persons. And we provide a number of specialist services, amongst others, which includes the prevention of blindness and restoration of sight, vocational and skills training, particularly in computers, computer literacy, call center, contact center training, and braille. The resource center supplies low and high-tech assistive devices and adapted technology. And then we have a resource library and information center that provides specialist information for research purposes and general information on blindness. Braille governance. During the course of this conference, some of my counterparts from South Africa will present to you the current trends and situation in terms of Braille in South Africa. 25 years ago, the South African National Council for the Blind, together with the Institute for the Blind, the South African Library for the Blind, and Blind SA, established a Braille Committee, which subsequently evolved into Braille South Africa. This structure was a partnership committee and received funding from the founding partners to undertake its work. On Friday, the 4th of May, we saw the establishment of the South African Braille Authority as a fully fledged NGO that would now represent the Braille matters within South Africa. The South African government is currently undertaking research and seems to be committed to wanting to establish a statutory Braille authority in the country, to enact a Braille policy for South Africa, and also considering the capacitation for production of Braille in the country. In conclusion, you acknowledge that we are living in very exciting next steps for the promotion and development of Braille in South Africa. I would once again like to extend a very warm and cordial welcome to all delegates, volunteers, and observers to this 5th General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille 2012, Johannesburg, South Africa, and extend to you our warm hospitality. And as Cathy Donaldson indicated earlier, please don't hesitate to ask any of the members of the organizing committee and our volunteers should you need any assistance. Once again, welcome, and we look forward to a very constructive and positive deliberations over the next couple of days in identifying and promoting the importance of Braille to blind and partially sighted persons internationally. Thank you, President.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nair, for your welcome. I now pass over to Cathy Donaldson for her welcome from Blind SA. Cathy.
Morning, friends. It is really an honor for me to welcome you all to this 5th General Assembly. It has been a pleasure for me personally to have met all of you and been able to assist you on behalf of the organizing committee and on behalf of the two parties which are involved. Firstly, I would like to welcome Mr. Jace Nyer, the director of the National Party, who is National Party, sorry, I'll be in serious trouble. but I think you're also serious that I have to say that. From the National Council for the Blind, Jace, welcome, and thanks for all the assistance you have given to us as the main body of all the organizations. Then I would like to welcome everybody from all over the world, as you have heard, as the delegations have been mentioned. Then I would also like to address a special word of welcome to the President of ICEP, Ms. Mary Schnittenberger. Thanks for coming to South Africa, Mary. I'm sure that you will never be sorry that you came here. As you can see, this is the sunshine country of ours, and we love it, and I'm sure that when you people leave this country, you are going to leave it with the same passion that we have for our country. Just to tell you a little bit about Blind SA. Blind SA was founded in 1946. They were the organization was founded by a group of people who were oppressed and felt that they didn't want to work in sheltered workshops anymore, and they would like to become part of society. So they got together in Johannesburg in a hotel called Her Majesty's, and there they formed the organization. And the main object in those days was to find employment for blind people in the open labor market. This organization was very successful in doing so, and the main field of placement was by placing people on switchboards and later on in call centers. However, a lot of blind people took the initiative to go wider in the field and to become take on some professional occupation. For example, people went to study as lawyers, as computer programmers, as teachers, as physiotherapists, etc. So we really covered a wide field of employment. However, the organization grew, and very interesting history is that in 1953, it was resolved that a small Braille transcription bureau would be started. This transcription bureau started very small. It was started by two people called Ernest and Monica Kruger. Ernest was a partially sighted person, and his wife was blind. And in their kitchen in a flat in Norwell, they started printing Braille. The idea was to print, for example, insurance policies and other documents which were private, so that blind people could read their own documents and not need to ask other people to read and to tell them how their financial position was, etc. This matter grew extensively, and later on, Braille Services was formed and has grown to become the biggest production unit in Africa of the three which Mr. Nair mentioned just now. We as an organization is very proud of Braille SA. It is a department of Blind SA, and we really, it has become our main course at the moment, and we serve individuals, we print textbooks, we print magazines at no cost, and we also do work for universities when necessary, or any government, and we also even print for our main body, that is the National Council for the Blind. Let me get it correct this time. And then I got very exciting news. In 6 years, our production record has been broken 3 times. And we are so excited that we can announce today that in the past financial year, nearly the 4,200,000 pages of Braille was presented by our production unit, which is a fantastic record, and we are very excited about that. We also provide other services. We do assistive devices. We do mobility. We also train people in Braille, and we provide bursaries for students. We advocate very strongly for education because our belief is that the blind child must get a good foundation. And the only way you can get a good foundation is by receiving quality education. We as blind people know exactly what that means, because when we were young, we received a wonderful education. And that is why there are so many prominent blind people in South Africa today, and that can be seen as outstanding people and to fulfill their place in society. In closing, once again, I would like to wish you all a wonderful stay in South Africa. May you enjoy every minute of it. May you enjoy all the culture, all the strange things that you do not experience in your own country, and may it really be a blessed stay, and that you go back with wonderful memories of this 5th General Assembly, which is taking place in South Africa. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Kathy, for that welcome. Dr. William Rowland, she referred to, is, of course, the past president of the World Blind Union and a very famous South African individual, well known to us around the world. And his survey his survey established something that we frequently read about, which is 90% of blind and partially sighted people in employment in South Africa are Braille readers. So it's very important for us to reflect on that detail. Now, our next speaker has just acquired a new role. Christo de Klerk, amongst many other things, is the chairman of the organising committee for the 5th General Assembly meeting here. And over the past 3 days, there has been a meeting of what used to be called Braille SA, which is South Africa's Braille Authority, and that has changed and become the Braille Authority of South Africa. And its first president, who was elected on Friday, is Christo de Klerk. So we welcome Christo and invite him to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Good morning, everybody. I am learning things about people today I've never known. I've never suspected that Jace was a boor in disguise. And you probably didn't know that Kathy is now the president of the ANC Youth League. She ousted Comrade Juju. You know, in April we had a tremendously cold spell, and we believed then that the winter had settled in. But now here in May we have unseasonable warm weather. That was arranged to reflect the warmth of our welcome to you. And we hope that you do feel welcome. As you heard, I was the convener of the organizing committee, but I did very little. I coordinated, but I had such an excellent committee, and I'd like to introduce them to you. They just made things happen. I never had to worry about a thing. The members of the organizing committee are Kathy, I'm not going to ask her to stand up now again, because you have, those of you who can see have seen her. Kathy, and then Mika, my shining star. She is around here. She will help, as she always does. We have Susan van Wyk. She has been acting as the event secretary. But apart from that, she has also proofread all the documentation. The documentation amounts to probably about some 700 or 800 Braille pages per person, and she personally proofread them together with her other work. So please, people, look through the documentation, try and find mistakes, and then report them to me. We're looking for reasons not to pay her bonus. And then we have Madeleine Greilen and Lizette Prinsloo, who've been working hard on the preparations and the documentation, getting it all together, arrangements with the Department of Arts and Culture and that sort of thing, and Obert Maguwe, who was the pillar of strength, as he always is, and helped us with protocol and getting stubborn government officials to cooperate. So everything just happened, and I am so pleased to see how things are coming together, because this was the best possible organizing committee I could have had, and I'm very grateful for what they have done and will be doing. If you have experienced any issues or problems or questions, please feel free to contact any of the organizing committee. Immediately after I've spoken, I'll be ducking, so you can't get hold of me then. Now, you heard about Braille SA being dissolved and becoming SAVA. It is much more than a name change. Jace explained the background, that SAVA replaces Braille SA, which had been a partnership committee of the National Council for the Blind. SAVA will be registered as an NGO, It has a constitution which was unanimously adopted on Friday, so it is now 2 days old. For those who have not heard yet, those who are present here but have not heard the news, or those who are listening in to us now who do not know, the executive was elected, and the members are, the deputy president is Mchabeni Simon Mchituni, the treasurer is Derek Grief, and the other four executive members are Eric Gama, Michael Chiove, Pasha Alden, and Dina Moodley. A strong team of people, and exciting times lie ahead of us. These are all very passionate people in the field of Braille, and so much of our Braille work is done by volunteers whose hearts are really in it. And our South African friends, I extend a very warm word of welcome to you all. We're going to work hard, but let it not just all be hard work. Let us also enjoy the times. Let us have a good General Assembly. And may I just ask Lizette Prinsler now to read a message to the General Assembly, please.
This message is from Derek Grief. It says, the President, International Council in English Braille, General Assembly, Johannesburg, South Africa. May I offer you and all the delegates to the conference my warmest South African welcome to Johannesburg and the City of Gold. We at Blind SA have been dreaming of this day for the past 4 years, and now it is here. The enthusiasm for the conference is clear in the number of registrations, as well as in the increased traffic on the blind-related mailing lists. May you have a wonderful stay in our country, and may your deliberations be successful to the extent that, in future, even more Braille readers in the world will enjoy improved access to standardized Braille material. For us not attending the conference, there is a good second prize in that we will be able to follow all the proceedings with a live streaming on the internet. Derek Grief, National Treasurer, Blind SA.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We now have another letter. This one has come from Ireland, from Ilka Steglin in Ireland, and it's been brailled for me to read, so I will do that. It is with great pleasure that we are able to address all of you via this message. INBAF, the new Irish National Braille and Alternative Format Association, was launched last Thursday, May 3rd, and this is its first formal appearance in the international context. The Republic of Ireland is a very small country of English Braille users compared to the countries most of you represent. Historically, Braillists in Ireland used standard English Braille as regulated by BORC, now UKAF. INBAF, therefore, hopes to be a new local address for Irish Braillists, but also sees itself as a link internationally. We would like to sincerely thank Chairperson Mary Schnackenberg of the ICEB, Pete Osborne and Mandy White from the RNIB, and Sarah Morley-Wilkins, and Richard West from UKAF for giving us encouragement and support in setting up INBAF. This year we have made two main tasks on our agenda, UEB and Irish Braille. UEB has not yet been adopted in Ireland, however, it has truly arrived in the UK, and Irish discussions seem to focus on the how and the when UEB will be introduced, rather than the if. INBAF
hopes to smooth the way towards the adoption of UEB even further and help along the way of its implementation. We will certainly hope to build on experiences gained by all of you in your respective countries. Unlike the 11 official languages in South Africa, Ireland has only two. The second official language is Irish Gaelic, with its own Braille code. The Irish Braille code is closely linked to English Braille in the contractions for and for of the with, are used to denominate accented letters. INBAF's first action after its launch was the establishment of a working group on Irish Braille to review and update its code, and to do so in a way that will tally with UEB conventions. INBAF would like to become an official member of the ICEB and will make a formal application very soon. We are following events via streaming over the next days and would like to wish you a successful 5th General Assembly. May the road be successful for you from Ireland, and please visit us on www.inbaf.ie. Thank you very much for that message from Ilka Staglin in Ireland. I just want to briefly add my welcome to all of those from this morning. You'll be hearing from me later when I deliver my President's report. But for those of us who have come from outside South Africa, some of us have been here for 3 or 4 days now, and we're having a wonderful time. And thank you so much for your warm welcome. I would like to do some more administrative business matters, and then I will deliver my President's report. So I'd like to arrange the confirmation of the Minute Secretary for the 5th General Assembly and advise you that that will be Judy Dixon, who is the Secretary of ICEB. She is taking copious notes and will work from the recordings of the General Assembly to manage the minutes. So Judy is our Minute Secretary. The agenda, you will have the agenda in your program. I need to advise that we're going to have to move some of the items of the agenda around to accommodate a change. The Deputy Minister for Arts and Culture was not able to come this morning, but we're seeing him tomorrow morning. And so we're taking some of the business parts of our work that would have been held tomorrow morning, and we're bringing them forward to this morning's session. To review the speaking rights, just to remind us that the International Council on English Braille has 7 member countries at the moment, and the 7 member countries each have delegations. 6 of the countries have brought their maximum 4 delegates, and the 7th country has their 3 delegates. And ask you, if you wish to speak about a matter, would you please raise your hand? I'm not certain if the country microphones are working yet. I'm advised by John that they are indeed working. So you'll be able to use your table microphone to speak. We will give priority to delegates, but we will also give time to observers wherever practical. We ask that a particular delegate, when they've spoken, they wait until other delegates have spoken until they signal that they want to speak again. We also will limit every speaker to a 3-minute maximum. And of course, we'll do our best to accommodate observers. Now, we have a speaker's monitor up here. John Simpson, to your left, my right. John is from Australia and is rather experienced in international conferences and is really supporting me and you to help all the organising committee and everybody around the room to make this conference flow even better. So I thank you, John, for helping with this. Voting rules. From time to time, we may be asked to have a vote. Each delegation has one vote, and the delegation is responsible for nominating their vote carrier or spokesperson. If that spokesperson is out of the room, it's up to the delegation to sort out who the alternate spokesperson is. Now, I'll just pause at this point to check if there are any questions. Okay, do we have any hands up and any questions at this moment? There appear to be no questions at this moment. Right. Now, those of you who were involved in the roll call this morning, that's fine. Have we got any new arrivals in the room who didn't speak during the roll call? If you would raise your hand, we'll ask the roving microphones to come to you and so that you can identify yourself to the conference. Name and country, please.
Yes, Elijah Akinyemi from Nigeria.
Welcome, Elijah. Anyone else? Some observers, we think. Yes?
Haven't got the microphone, ladies. You need to put your hand.
Okay. Betty Noble is from Canada, but just to remind us all, we are streaming, so it's really important that you hear your own voice coming back through the speakers. That way you know that your sound is going out to the world. If you put your hand up, just wait until the person comes to you, particularly if you're an observer, just wait till the person comes to you with the roving microphone. Betty, can we have you again, please?
Yes, it's Betty Noble from Canada.
Welcome, Betty. Thank you. Any more down the back? No? All right. We'll move on to the appointment of the Resolutions Committee. In past assemblies, we have had a chairman and three or four people to run the Resolutions Committee. This year we thought we'd do it differently. And so we recommend that the Resolutions Committee be chaired by Pete Osborne. Pete is from the United Kingdom, but his name is on the nomination slate as being the potential incoming president for ICEB. So we've asked Pete to be the chairman, and then we've agreed that we will have one representative from each of the seven countries. So on the Resolutions Committee, we recommend Australia, Bill Jolly, Canada, Betty Noble, New Zealand, Paula Wabe, Nigeria, Elijah Akinyemi, South Africa, Dr. Obert Maguve, UK, Mandy White, USA, Francis Mary Dandria. So it is the executive's proposal that this be our Resolutions Committee. If you wish to speak about that proposal, would you raise your hand, please? All right. Then that is the Resolutions Committee. Now, I think this being 20-10, I think we might. Yep, I think we might take the President's report at this point. So, Christo, I'm sorry, Christo, you have your hand up.
I have just been informed that Albert has a problem. He can't do it for us anymore. So we need to have someone else, and I want to see if I could perhaps coerce Antoinette to do it, because I've done it every time, and Antoinette will do this for us.
Chair, I do have a question. It's Bill Poole, United Kingdom, and it is about the Resolutions Committee and the way you propose to handle them. Could you, at some appropriate time, brief people on how you intend to get the timetable for getting the resolutions for people to see, for all delegates to see, and the discussion of them, and when we vote on them, and things like that? Because we have a tight timetable. You've already indicated that some items are on the agenda are having to be moved. That doesn't affect this, I don't think. But I think people would like to know and have the maximum time to think about the content of any resolutions that might be brought.
Thank you for raising that issue, Bill. And I will ask Pete Osborne to address the progress of the Resolutions Committee deliberations and to advise conference when resolutions can be shared. We are extremely appreciative of the support from Braille SA. Each day, resolutions will be emailed to them and they will Braille those and print them for print users, and they will come back and we will be able to be aware of the resolutions coming forward. I expect that all the resolutions will be available for people to see certainly by Thursday morning prior to the start of Thursday. Depending on how things go with the Resolutions Committee, we're hopeful that that will be the case by Wednesday afternoon, but it really is in the hands of Pete and his team. And just to confirm that, because Dr. Magufe was not able to be on the committee, I was distracted. I believe that Antoinette Buta will be on the committee instead. Thank you, Antoinette, for doing that for us. And I'm confident that we will have the opportunity to work through the resolutions before we discuss them on Thursday morning. All right. Okay, I've just stood up to use the alternative microphone here because I want to deliver the President's report. So it's my very great privilege to deliver this President's report to you. The work of the International Council on English Braille is grounded in our 1991 Constitution, where the purpose of ICEB is stated to be to provide a medium for international cooperation among national standard-setting bodies on English language Braille. ICEB shall work towards A, the creation and development of national standard-setting bodies in countries in which English is a major language and or in which there is a substantial use of English language Braille. B, the development and adoption of internationally recognized minimum standards for the production and teaching of Braille. C, the provision for and the encouragement of an exchange of information, experiences, and Braille materials among national standard-setting bodies. D, the encouragement and conducting of research studies related to the production, teaching, and use of Braille throughout the world. And E, the standardization of all English language Braille codes. I'm extremely proud to reflect on the work of ICEB over the past 4 years. The executive team has maintained vigilant oversight of ICEB work, attending 16 teleconferences together with the midterm executive meeting in the UK in July 2010. Our secretary, Judy Dixon, has produced minutes to record our decisions. The members of the executive, supported by several subcommittees, are bringing a range of issues to the table at this 5th General Assembly for your review and further guidance. Organisations need structures constitution, bylaws, financial oversight, and more. Under Darlene Bogart's leadership, the 1991 ICEB constitution has been revised. One of its new clauses permits the writing of bylaws by the executive, which will further assist our deliberations. The executive recommends to this General Assembly that the revised constitution be adopted. ICEB funds were transferred from the United Kingdom to Australia, from the United States to Australia, where they have benefited from a somewhat higher rate of interest and from Treasurer Bill Jolly's careful stewardship. The Treasurer's report, which has received formal review, will be discussed at this assembly. Foremost among ICEB concerns has been its oversight of English Braille code development. I believe it's very valuable to record here the 1993 guidance from ICEB to the Unified English Braille Code developers, which was to produce one unified code for the English language. The code developers were charged with making as few changes as practical and to come up with a code that was without ambiguity in the meaning of its symbols. There were six objectives, namely that the Unified Braille Code shall A, use a six-dot Braille cell, B, encompass grade 1 and grade 2 without making any major changes to the contractions of grade 2 Braille, C, be usable by both beginning and advanced Braille readers, D, be computable to the greatest degree possible without detriment to readability from print to Braille to print, and employing an unambiguous Braille representation of each print symbol. E. Embed textbook, mathematics, computer, and other technical codes, excluding music code. F. Consider all submitted English Braille codes in its formulation. Additionally, G. To develop a general method for extending the basic literary code so that it can encompass the symbologies employed in various scientific and technical disciplines. H. To define the terms used. I. To determine the extent of symbols, print and indicators. J. To ensure that new symbols allowed by an extension will be unambiguous and will permit the same general form of expression in Braille as print. And K. To ensure symbols in the basic code will not be altered except to bring about parallel forms in Braille and print. As we know, the work of the code developers has been affirmed and acknowledged with the adoption of UEB in South Africa, Nigeria, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and most recently in the United Kingdom. The earlier decisions about Unified English Braille were presented in June 2010 in the Rules of Unified English Braille, edited by Christine Simpson, in collaboration with the International Council on English Braille. I wish to place on record ICEB's sincere gratitude to Christine for completing the first edition of this technically challenging work. And I also wish to thank her husband, John, for all his support during that project. I was privileged to be present at the launch of what has come to be known as the UEB rulebook. The work continues under the leadership of the Code Maintenance Committee and its chair, Phyllis Landon. This committee demonstrates a fine balance of leadership, which draws on thoughtful contributions that result in sound consensus. A new edition of the UEB rulebook is expected to be published by the end of 2012. A face-to-face meeting of the Code Maintenance Committee is scheduled during this assembly. One theme in this General Assembly is that of accreditation of transcribers and proofreaders of Braille. Three papers address this issue, and we look forward to discussions about the role that ICEB might play in establishing an accreditation framework. As ICEB member countries adopt UEB, various sets of training materials have been produced. Under the guidance of Jean Obi, the UEB Training and Implementations Materials Committee has tried to bring these together so that everyone can benefit from the work, no matter how culturally different the training texts may be. Again, papers and discussions will address UEB implementation among our member countries. One thing Braille readers may never agree on is how best Braille should be laid out on paper to show document structure and layout while taking advantage of just one font style and size determined by the six-dot cell. The 2004 Third General Assembly in Toronto gave thumbs down to a considerable body of effort in this regard. Yet, Jean Obi has pushed on, seeing a need for format guidelines in developing countries where there is a dire shortage of quality Braille paper and a need for guidelines to maximise the use of such a scarce resource. Jean's format guidelines will be discussed at this assembly. The Music Braille Code, as Geordie Howell's report points out, crosses linguistic boundaries and has remained largely unchanged since its creation by Louis Braille himself. The Music Braille Committee has collaborated with the Code Maintenance Committee to resolve some concerns. This General Assembly is being asked to consider the next priorities for the Music Braille Committee. Understandably, when assemblies such as this one meet, they come up with resolutions that, for various reasons, are not able to be actioned. Pete Osborne's review of the outcomes of the 2008 resolutions shows that the coordinating research committee, the tactile graphics committee, the Braille Promotion Committee and the Signage and Product Labelling Committee have not been particularly active. Nonetheless, ICEB has performed its information exchange role and a number of initiatives from other organisations have been shared. At the Louis Braille Congress in Paris in January 2009, there was a call to revise World Braille usage. The 1990 edition has steadily become out of date with the addition of more than 30 Braille languages since it was published. The executive resolved to support the Library of Congress in its revision of this Bible of Braille Codes. ICEB has agreed to contribute financially to this project. We were also delighted to learn of the financial contribution from Perkins School for the Blind. Transcribers and readers of Braille will be the beneficiaries when the third edition of World Braille Usage is published by the end of this year. Every General Assembly has passed one or more resolutions about outreach to developing countries. ICEB agreed to send a representative to meetings of the World Braille Council to support this World Blind Union initiative towards the promotion of Braille. At ICEB's midterm executive meeting, it was further agreed to write a document consisting of a directory of Braille authorities in English-speaking countries, describing the various structures of Braille authorities, and providing a model constitution that can be used by countries seeking to establish a Braille authority. This is in line with part of ICEB's purpose, which is that ICEB shall work towards the creation and development of national standard-setting bodies in countries in which English is a major language and or in which there is a substantial use of English language Braille. We have not drawn up a model constitution, as our inquiries suggest. It would be better for each country to look to its own legal jurisdiction for guidance. However, we have produced a paper about setting up Braille authorities. The questions we posed for groups to consider have been useful to several ICEB members whose Braille authorities have been under recent review. I was privileged to deliver a shortened version of this paper at the 5th Africa Forum on Blindness in Accra in July 2011. The Braille Authority of Ghana was launched during that forum. The team in Ghana had benefited from advice from Jean Obi, a member of the ICEB executive. We are delighted that representatives from Botswana and Zimbabwe are also attending this General Assembly as observers. We look forward to providing any advice we can as you strive to make relevant the concept of a Braille authority in your countries. Again, I was privileged to present a shortened version of the Braille Authorities paper at Leipzig at Braille 21 last September in Germany, and there I met a representative from Ireland, and we heard from her this morning, who had contacted me. I had fielded an inquiry about the introduction of UEB in developing countries from a colleague at Perkins School for the Blind. At this General Assembly, we will be learning about the latest developments in electronic Braille displays. In particular, Pete Osborne will explain the initiative of the Royal National Institute of Blind People to stimulate the production of an electronic Braille display for under $200. Another paper will explain the use of Braille displays with the Apple iOS devices. In this light, we will consider the future role of ICEB's refreshable Braille Committee, which has been led by Christo de Klerk. These are indeed exciting developments for reading and writing in Braille. So what are the future of ICEB itself? This question is posed because some argue with the re-establishment of the World Braille Council, ICEB's days may be numbered. While every organisation moves through a life cycle to an ultimate demise, ICEB still has much to achieve. Implementation of UEB has thrown up issues which are under active consideration by the Code Maintenance Committee. This is a perfectly normal outcome of the implementation of the Code and the impact of today's print world upon it. The guidelines for technical materials are to be included within the rulebook, and this may lead to some changes in its language to harmonise it with the language of the rulebook. Just as we have an English language group for Braille, so also there are language groups for French and Spanish Braille. However, I dream of seeing harmonisation of Braille symbols for punctuation marks, numeric indicators, and mathematical operators. If the print world can have common symbols in these three areas, why does the Braille world remain so divided? The World Braille Council offers a forum, at least, where these divisions can be worked through. If the World Braille Council is to assume responsibilities for the several Braille subgroups, a credible structure with wide linguistic representation and strong leadership will be required. So we will watch with interest developments with the World Braille Council as the World Blind Union seeks to secure its future. ICEB is a partnership of blind and sighted contributors, individuals and organisations. Without this partnership, its work cannot succeed. This ICEB 5th General Assembly would not have been possible without the work of the South African Organising Committee led by Christo de Klerk. We also thank the South African Government's Department of Arts and Culture for its considerable financial contribution, and the staff and members of the South African National Council for the Blind, Braille SA and Blind SA for their great gift of their time and effort. Our ICEB website, www.iceb.org, remains under the auspices of Duxbury Systems Incorporated. Thank you, Joe Sullivan, for giving your time to its maintenance and support. Several of the blindness agencies in ICEB member countries have given considerable financial and in-kind support to our work. I wish to express our sincere appreciation for the generous grant from the Royal National Institute for the Blind, of blind people, that is, the Royal National Institute of Blind People, which funded the midterm executive meeting. Funding for the attendance of delegates and observers at this assembly has come from blindness agencies, national and state governments, Braille authorities, and ICEB itself. The ICEB executive trusted and funded me to attend the launch of the UEB rulebook, the 5th Africa Forum on Blindness, and Braille 21, for which I am most grateful. I also wish to thank the Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind for their support to me and to ICEB. At this General Assembly, we will be acknowledging the retirement from the ICEB executive of three people, each of whom has made an enormous contribution to Braille throughout their lifetime, but in particular to ICEB in the past 20 years. Darlene Bogart from Canada has been ICEB's Vice President during this term. Darlene chaired the UEB Project Committee when ICEB took responsibility for the code development in 1993 and held that role until its work was transferred to the UEB Code Maintenance Committee in 2010. She assumed the presidency of ICEB in 2000, following the deaths of the incumbent president and immediate past president, and nurtured ICEB through four challenging years until the 2004 General Assembly. Bill Poole from the UK has served as a member at large. His grasp of linguistics and extensive code knowledge is almost unrivaled. Fred Schroeder has been ICEB's immediate past president. His extensive experience with constitutions and bylaws and his gentlemanly good humour have been among his lasting contributions. Each has shown considerable patience and offered much wisdom during our deliberations. We wish you well as you step down from ICEB's sometimes protracted and repetitive discussions, though you all know you have contributed so much to the positive outcomes of literacy through Braille. I wish to thank each member of my executive, Darlene Bogart, Christo de Klerk, Judy Dixon, Bill Jolly, Jean Obie, Pete Osborne, Bill Poole, and Fred Schroeder, have all given hours of time over a sustained four-year period. In addition, there have been the subcommittee leaders and members. Together, you have all made ICEB what it is and moved literacy through Braille along its journey of trying to reflect the complex world of print while providing communications for those who cannot read print. Finally, on a personal note, I have been a user of Braille since my teachers taught me to read and write when I was a five-year-old. Literacy and numeracy through Braille has allowed me to obtain an education and gain employment, to learn and earn. I cannot imagine what my life would be like without direct access to print that Braille gives me. I shall always be eternally grateful to the co-writers, the transcribers, and the teachers. As we wrote in our paper about setting up Braille authorities do not have actual authority over Braille in their countries. There is no legislation in any ICEB country that gives legal enforcement to the decisions made by their Braille authorities. However, they succeed in their work because they include and involve all stakeholders in Braille in their decisions. The more inclusive and open and transparent Braille authorities can be, the more likely they will be, the more likely they will be successful in promoting the use of Braille and in introducing change to keep Braille relevant in today's complex environment for literacy and numeracy. So I remain profoundly troubled that I, along with others, must defend the rights of blind people to learn to read and write Braille. It is true that many sighted people in our world are not given the opportunity to learn to read and write print. But they are not expected, as we are, to defend the very existence of print. While I believe there will always be a need for an ICEB organisation, an ICEB-like organisation to monitor and improve Braille codes, I will continue to strive for the day when we no longer have to defend the very existence of Braille itself. It is our shared challenge to continue to work to make literacy through Braille an unquestioned reality. Sometimes the struggle to promote the right to read in Braille can seem soul-destroying. This week, we're meeting in South Africa, a country that has given the world four winners of the Nobel Prize for Peace. Let us draw inspiration from Albert Luthuli, Desmond Tutu, F.W. de Klerk, and Nelson Mandela as we strive for the right to read in Braille. Ladies and gentlemen, I move that this report be tabled for consideration. Thank you. Now, we've come up to our morning tea time, 10 o'clock. What I suggest we do is break for morning tea. When we come back, I'll take questions. Actually, I need a seconder for moving the report be open for discussion. So if I could have a seconder for that from among the delegates, please.
I wanted an opportunity to raise a question, but if you're taking them after tea, that's fine by me.
That's fine, Bill. Thank you very much for seconding that the report be open for discussion. We'll take questions about it after morning tea, and then we'll move on to other parts of the agenda.
Sorry, Mary.
Yes, Christo.
Did you intentionally skip over the report from the nominations committee?
Yes, because I'll take that after morning tea. We'll take that after morning tea. I just wanted to set the scene because the President's report covers off a lot of issues, so we'll take that after morning tea. All right, thank you very much, everyone, and we'll be back at 10:30, please. All right, back at 10:35.
Hierdie mense ken nie die woorde nie. Okay. Sal jy maar net vir my wys stop?
Ja, nee.
Okay.